And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Just a reminder, take the poll up on my website today. BrainstormingOnline.com is my website. I ask a simple question, yes or no. Will you be looking for a new job in 2012? Go on to the site, answer the question, place your vote, and then you'll get a chance to see the results. I'll announce the overall results on tomorrow's show. You'll find that poll up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. That's brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the smallest detail. Each of my guests is explaining the smallest detail of his subject, whether it's marketing, consumer electronics, or Carly Simon. My next guest is a rock journalist who's followed and written about supergroups of the 60s and 70s. He's written a biography of one of rock's most private stars. We'll discuss Carly Simon from his biography, More Room in a Broken Heart. And if you have questions or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Stephen Davis was born in New York City, and I won't tell you the year because I'm a gentleman. He was educated in Philadelphia and in Boston. He began writing for the Cambridge Phoenix back in 1970, and then he had a special interest in music. He submitted some articles to Rolling Stone and eventually joined the magazine staff in 1972. He's written several books, Reggae Bloodlines. He's written about 16 different books. One of his most famous books is the Led Zeppelin Saga. Another is a biography that he did of the Rolling Stones. His latest biography is of Carly Simon. It's titled More Room in a Broken Heart, The True Adventures of Carly Simon. Stephen lives and works in Boston, Massachusetts, joining us from that area. Hi, Stephen. How are you today?
I'm fine. And how are you?
I am doing terrific. Thank you for being my guest, and thank you for all of the work that you've done for all of your rock biographies. You are the preeminent biographer of rock bands, as far as I'm concerned. Interesting, though, that I found out that you really had a special connection with Carly Simon and the Simon family, so I suppose that there was really nobody better suited to write this biography than you. So tell us about this unique relationship that you had with Carly Simon and her family, and more importantly, did this put you into sort of an awkward position about writing the biography?
Well, it was really destiny that brought us together, because I got to college in Boston back in the 20th century, and my roommate, who I'd never met before, was a young photographer called Peter Simon. And I guess one day, a year or so later, he said, come over to the house and meet my mother. And so I went over. There was Mrs. Simon, and then there was Peter's older sister, a couple years older, in her early 20s, tall and very, very shy and kind of gawky, a little overweight, a lot of acne, and not much self-confidence. And this was Carly Simon. And she was just kind of, she had been a folk music star with her sister, the Simon sisters, in the early 60s. But by then she was, again, in her sort of early to mid-20s, and was between careers and was trying to figure out what to do next. And so I said, well, what are you going to do? And she said, well, I want to be a songwriter. I said, well, can you play me some stuff? And she played me a couple of demo tapes that she'd made, and they were, of course, brilliant. And I said, God, you could be a really huge star someday. I mean, this is really incredible. And she said, oh, no, this is the last thing I would want, because I have all these phobias and fears, and I could never perform in front of anybody again. It almost killed me the first time I did it with my sister, and there's no way that I will ever get on stage again. So I said, okay, and a few years later, she sold a bunch of songs to Elektra Records in New York, and they put out an album, and they said, well, it's time to go on tour. And she said, well, I can't. And they said, well, you have to, you know, or you get fired. And so she famously went out to the Troubadour in Los Angeles on Santa Monica Boulevard. It's the smallest detail for you. And opened for Cat Stevens, a young songwriter from England, who no one had ever heard of, but who was also trying to make his big break in Los Angeles. But Elton John had famously begun his career at this club a few months earlier, and so a lot of important people in California, Hollywood, came, including Joni Mitchell, who brought along her boyfriend, James Taylor, whose drummer was playing with Carly Simon that night. So you make all these connections. It's kind of funny, because all these legendary names. But after the show, after Carly played a set, and while Joni Mitchell was watching Cat Stevens' set, James Taylor and his little sister Kay Taylor, another detail, went upstairs to the Troubadour to see Carly Simon, and there she was, and she had known the Taylors from summers and family summers on Martha's Vineyard, and a year later they were married. So, you know, I mean, this was like, for me to have kind of sort of peripherally seen all this as, you know, someone who was involved with Rolling Stone, as you said, and wrote about Carly and everything, it kind of blew my mind and sort of continued to blow my mind for the next 40 years. It was an incredible career to follow. And the second part of your question was, and kill me if I'm going on too long.
No, you're doing fine, Stephen. but the second part, challenges.
The second part of your question was there a challenge? And the answer is not really, because I had written some, she had asked me about 5 or 6 years ago to write the liner notes for her CD compilation of greatest hits. It was called Carly Simon Reflections. And so I wrote this essay called Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know, you know, Carly Simon. And she really liked it, because it was the first time anyone had ever come out in print, you know, and said that, you know, she was like a little crazy. And this was in her own album. And so she really liked this, and I got a lot of positive feedback on it. And I said, well, look, why don't we do a book together? It's one of the things that I do. You know, I, as you mentioned, I've written books with Fleetwood Mac and Bob Marley and Aerosmith and like that. And I said, you could probably get a lot of money for your memoirs. And she said, well, no, I don't want to do that now. And you know, I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and do it and on my own, and it'll be unauthorized, but it'll be, you know, very respectful and sympathetic. And if you like it, I probably haven't done my job. You know, and she said, okay. And so a couple of days went by, and she, her brother called me up and said, look, there's some things about our family that Carly doesn't want you to publish. I go, what are they? And he says, well, I don't know exactly, but she's going to call you. So another day or two goes by, and she calls up and says, look, there's a couple things about my family that I don't want to come out. And I go, okay, what are they? And she tells me, and they're completely trivial. I mean, and I said, okay, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with your career or the arc of your life or anything like that. But in return for suppressing this information, you know, would you help me with the book, you know, cooperate a little bit in terms of, you know, accuracy and dates and things like that?
Why, you con artist, you.
Yeah, it was a bit of, well, it wasn't really a con, because she was getting something from me. And so I just wanted to get something from her, because I needed her cooperation. It was a biography, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't have to do it. And so, but she said, okay. So it was a kind of sort of a mutual blackmail, you know, white male. And so that was, and the book was called I Believe in Love, The True Adventures of Carly Simon. And I worked on it for a couple of years, did the interviews, did the research, you know, stole stuff from other writers, did everything I could to make a really compelling read, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And last summer, again, she got in touch with me and said, look, you know, I don't really like the title of this book. And I said, well, it's unauthorized. And she said, well, I still don't like the title. And I go, well, why not? And she said, well, the title was, again, I Believe in Love. And she said, well, I don't believe in love anymore. And, and I go, well, okay, what else you got? And she says, let me think about it. And then a couple of days later, I heard that she emailed me a line from another, from the same song, actually. The song's called Coming Round Again. And
right.
The line is, don't mind if I fall apart, there's more room in a broken heart. And more room in the broken heart is what she wanted the title to be. But we'd already published the, you know, they'd already printed the jacket of the book and everything. And I went to the publisher and I said, Carly Simon wants you to change the title of my book. And they hemmed and hawed, and they said, well, okay. And so you see, it's a very complicated process of how this book came out. It's unauthorized. She's not that happy with it. She thinks it's too revealing, and it is, you know. But on the other hand, it would be horrible to write a boring book about Carly Simon. So there you have it.
There you go. My guest is Stephen Davis, author of the book, More Room in a Broken Heart, The True Adventures of Carly Simon. And Stephen, in that last answer, you did talk about Carly's family, some things she didn't want to have exposed about that. She really came from above ordinary circumstances. I mean, tell us about her youth. She's the daughter of Richard Simon. For people who don't know, he was one of the founders of Simon & Schuster, the big publishing house. The family was very artistic. They used to have fellows like Gershwin, Rodgers & Hammerstein just hanging around the house, that kind kind of stuff. You mentioned her first band was the Simon Sisters with her sisters. How did all of this artistic mélange affect her life and her career farther down the road, would you say?
Well, again, she grew up in a household where, you know, the dinner guests would be like Benny Goodman and Albert Einstein, and then the next week it would be Martin Luther King and Leonard Bernstein, and Jackie Robinson, and would be, you know, playing tennis on the family court and teaching Carly how to, you know, hit a backhand. And you know, that's quite a milieu to grow up in for 15 or 16 years. And well, by the time her father died in 1960, she'd seen, you know, a lot of the most glamorous people of the age, and I think she was able to kind of channel some of that star quality into her own persona when she's made her own run for the rainbow, you know, 20 years later. And I obviously had a lot of, you know, positive influence on her. The problem was that Carly, again, had a lot of fears and phobias and couldn't sleep at night and was stuttered terribly and really couldn't even speak very well until she was 6 or 7 years old, which was mortifying to her, I think. I think she was the family case where, you know, she was sort of the designated sick person in the family, and probably play that role to the hilt also. But it impacted on her career in the sense that this was something that she was able to overcome through therapy, through willpower, and really naked ambition. I mean, she really wanted to get where she, you know, thought she wanted to be. I know when her father died in 1960, her mother, Andrea Simon, told the four children that, you know, that their father had to be proud of them and they had to go out and, you know, do something on their own. And of course they did, all four of them.
Right, they did. My guest is Stephen Davis. So Stephen, Carly Simon really embodies the genre of feminist singer-songwriter of the 1970s, or at least the early 1970s. Also in that group would be women like Carole King, Joni Mitchell. In what ways is Carly Simon's music and her success a function of the times that they were living in, and how much of it was that she influenced and shaped the times that she was living in?
Well, I think it's a good, interesting question that I haven't thought of, to tell you the truth. I think that she was a traditionalist songwriter of the old school. I mean, she grew up in a family where there was a framed silver portrait signed by George Gershwin in the living room. I think her sister Lucy still has that today.
And, wow.
And that's where, you know, as opposed to someone like Joni Mitchell, who was very influenced by modern jazz and sort of Canadian folk, and Carole King was a real building songwriter, you know, writing pop songs. I think she wrote Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow when she was 16 years old.
Right. The Brill Building.
Brill Building. And so, but Carly was like, to me, I was kind of more of a Broadway thing from her, you know, traditional music hall based, with a little bit of folk and a little bit of art song. She's not really easy to categorize because there's a little bit of everything in those records, and there are many, many records. It's really her love songs. And the whole point of this book, More Room in a Broken Heart, is to show how her romantic life and how she used her romantic life to inform the love songs that she wrote. She kind of needed to be in and out of love, and I think she was writing better songs when she was falling out of love almost than when she was falling in love. And so I thought it was sort of my job to chronicle that, but I'm told by members of her family that now she feels that it's a little bit too revealing about that time. But it was a very sexy time, and it was before the age of AIDS and STD, and you know, you probably remember it even better than I do, but it was an amazing time to be sexually active and young in America, thank God. And and I think that she did a lot of experimenting in that way with it, and she liked men and was very good with them and knew how to. Obviously, the people that she was consorting with were people like Cat Stevens and Chris Christopherson and James Taylor,
Mick Jagger. I mean, the list does go on and on.
It's quite a list, you
know.
And they're the cream of the crop, you know. And she was the one woman, really, the only woman who was really a connection between all of them, all the major singer-songwriters.
My guest is Stephen Davis, author of the book More Room in a Broken Heart, The True Adventures of Carly Simon. Stephen, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, More Room in a Broken Heart?
I want them to be emotionally exhausted, you know. I want them to feel like they're 60-something years old, and they've lived through, you know, what we all have lived through, and especially what Carly Simon has lived through, and but also what the generation has lived through. You know, I mean, it's a very intense book, I'm told. It's 400 pages of, you know, very closely argued biography and journalism.
Well, it is a paramount. It's a wonderful work of a biography. More Room in a Broken Heart, The True Adventures of Carly Simon. The author is Stephen Davis. Stephen, you've probably piqued the interest of many of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Well, there's a website called rockonstephendavis.com, and it's Stephen with a PH, rockonstephendavis.com, and that has some biographical stuff and a dopey blog that my little brother does, and just some other stuff on it about my other books, you know. And then my publisher, Gotham Books, has a website, and I think there's an essay by me that's just gone up on the Huffington Post today, a little bit essay about the publication of this book called Cooperating with Carly Backstage at More Room in a Broken Heart.
That is great. I'll have to look for that. I hadn't seen it. My guest has been Stephen Davis, author of the book More Room in a Broken Heart. Stephen, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.